Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study. Normally here at Sunday Nights, we systematically teach verse by verse through books of the Bible. But for this upcoming season, we're going to take a little break from that little six to seven week break where we're calling the series, if you guys see on your bulletin, the series right there next to the name of the speaker is called From Our Heart to Yours. Yes, I know it's a little cheesy, but kind of the heart behind this is just as a pastoral staff and with a couple of ministry leaders as well. We just kind of want to share our hearts with you guys, specifically with this group of here on Sunday nights. And so it's a very specific message for you guys, and that here is the pastors here on staff. Just want to share from our hearts, obviously from the scriptures, but it's just going to be kind of a little insight to just what the Lord's maybe showing us, and we want to share with you guys about that. So that's going to run maybe 6 to 7 weeks. And then we're going to get back into 2 Corinthians. And so I would encourage you guys to start reading ahead. But without any further ado, why don't you guys help me welcome Jeffrey Wilson.
Thank you. Yeah, you know. All right. So I'm sick. So that's why I was hiding sequestered away somewhere. And then right after this, I'm going to take off because I don't want any of you to get what I've got. I'm pretty sure it's bronchitis. So fun for that. And just a little bit deeper voice than maybe used to. And also, I will maybe if I start coughing, I'll grab something else and a different microphone so you don't have to listen to me cough. So just, and that's why I'm chewing gum too. I'm just giving it all out there, just being honest. So if you guys get sick this week sometime, all you guys up front, you know it was me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. I do thank you for this idea that that Isaac had, and maybe that you gave him the heart to, from my heart to yours. And Lord, I do have something on my heart and for this group, for this congregation. So, Lord, I pray that you would just make it clear tonight. Amen. Amen. How many of you guys have, anybody have Amazon Prime? Anybody have Amazon Prime? Oh, isn't it great? It's like one of the most amazing things ever created, that we could order something online and within 2 days, it's guaranteed to be there. And now, check this out. What's the next thing they just came out with? It's like Amazon One Day or something like that. It's like there are some products that you can order that can be to your house within 2 hours of you ordering it from your computer. It's ridiculous, right? I mean, here's how ridiculous it is. If I have to wait 3 days for my Amazon Prime, I'm upset. I'm frustrated. I paid for this and I want it in 3 days. Do you remember the day you had to wait like 5 to 7 business days for something? Like, that day is gone. If you go to Amazon Prime, you can get most anything within 2 business days, or they owe you something. You know what? Here's what I found. It's really hard to wait. It is really hard to wait. When we have that thing that we are looking forward to getting, or that thing that we need for business, it's really hard to wait any longer than the 2 days now. Like, I have my rights, right? I'm a citizen of the United States, and I have Amazon Prime. I don't need to wait. Here's where else I see this happening, and I'm just going to confess some things to you tonight. If I'm at Starbucks, and there's, like, 3 people in line, I'm getting antsy. Like, this should go quicker. Like, there should not be 3 people in line. I'm looking around for like another barista, maybe who's cleaning the tables or whatever, and be like, hey, get in line. Like, we need to start taking my drink orders or something. Like, this, have you gotten to that point in your life yet where like waiting like 3 deep is difficult? Or at a restaurant, how about this? If you're at a restaurant and the people across from you come after you got sat, but your order has not been delivered to your table yet, starting to get a little frustrated, right? This is frustrating. Hey, we were here before them, and they're getting their order. How about this? Or when you're eating, and you run out of your beverage, whatever it might be, and it's refillable, and the waiter doesn't come, and you're waiting, and there's like this kind of like looking around thing, and slowly, if you're like me, you start to push your drink to the edge of the table, like it's some side of beacon, like he's gonna see that, or she's gonna see that, and be like, oh, I need to go fill up their drink. we don't like to wait, and we grumble about that. Even just waiting a little while for our drink to be refilled, it's like, whoa, okay, sorry. It's stores now, if you just notice, like, if there's two or three in line, right, they get someone, can I get someone up here to help people? That wasn't always like that. They usually have to wait in line with your cart. And now with the self-serve, like, there's very little waiting, right? You can just bust on through. Our culture, right? And if you're like me, it's really hard to wait. And just one more confession. As I was driving here tonight, I'm looking to make a right-hand turn, right? And the person in front of me, they're not turning. And there's no one coming. And this is tonight. I'm like, come on, like, go. There's no one going. And I look in her rearview mirror, and her eyes are down. Her face is kind of lit up a little bit from her phone because she's waiting for the light to turn green. I'm like, this is ridiculous. We can all go. You're holding people up. We don't wait well. I don't wait well. And I'll just say this. This is just a small part of life. Have you guys ever had to wait for something a little bit bigger in your life? Have you ever really had to wait, like truly wait for something? Like, I'll tell you one area that is really hard to wait is when you do a blood test from a doctor and you're waiting to get the results back and you're having to wait. My cholesterol is always elevated, so I have to always be monitoring that. I know it's a silly thing, right? But I want to know what it is. And so I'll call in the doctor. Nope, we sent something to you. I'll call in the doctor again. Nope, we sent a letter out to you. I'm not getting this letter. Where is it? So I actually drove to the doctor's office the other day and got my numbers because I was tired of waiting. And the truth of the matter is that's, I think in all of us, there's times when we have to wait for things and we don't want to wait. And it's hard to wait. Maybe waiting for that guy or that girl, the spouse that you've always wanted. Like, oh, I've been dreaming and I'm having to wait and it's such a hard time to wait. I get it. Like, I've been there. I was there. It's a super hard thing. Like, if I could think of one thing in my life that was the hardest time to wait is when I didn't know my wife and I was waiting for like that girl to come, like whoever she is. And it didn't look like she was coming to my church. And I was just, I was like, when is this going to happen? I don't even know who it would be. Like out of all these people that I know, I don't see anyone, Lord. Like I'm having to wait. And it was hard, right? It's hard to wait. Or just like a job interview. And so now they're, oh no, they're screening 50 people. Oh, they're down to 25 people. And oh, I want to get this job so bad. Now they're down to 10 people. Oh, come on. I'm like, you're calling them. They're like, we'll call you. Right. And you're just, it's so hard to wait. Waiting is so difficult. And maybe you've been that way with the Lord before. And I would just say, if you haven't, you will be at some point where you're just waiting on the Lord to give you that answer. Or to make this more clear, Lord. I want clarity in this. Give me clarity. Where am I supposed to go? What is my job supposed to be? Who am I supposed to marry? How many kids are we supposed to have? I want clarity. Like, just spell it out for me. And oftentimes, I'll just tell you, he doesn't seem to work that way. It doesn't seem to function in that direction. Occasionally, you'll get something where it's like, boom, I got it. Oh, Lord, thank you. But more often than not, I find myself, and I bet you're the same way, waiting on the Lord, and that can be a difficult thing. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 6 tonight, and I want to just share a little bit, and from my heart to yours, of what are some things, what should I be thinking of, how should I position my heart for those times when he's going to ask me to wait on him? What am I to do? Where's my positioning as I'm supposed to be called to waiting on the Lord? It could be one of the most difficult times. And in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews is writing to these people, and he's saying, listen, stay in the faith. Keep walking with the Lord. Keep walking with the Lord. What he's heard is that there are some people who are going back to the old ways of Judaism. They're following the law again. And he's saying, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Keep walking with the Lord. And he's also writing to people maybe who don't know the Lord. He's saying, this is an amazing opportunity you have to walk with the living God. And all throughout Hebrews, you'll see that he's making this comparison, and he's basically saying that Jesus is better than this old religious way. Jesus is better than the law. Jesus is the great high priest. And he's just making this argument all throughout that Jesus is better than any answer that you have from the Old Testament ways of religion. And so we maybe say the same thing today. Jesus is better than any religion. It's a relationship with Jesus that we desire and that we love. And he's making that argument to them. And he's saying, don't leave the faith. Don't walk away. Stay here. Stay here. Stay here. Stay with the Lord. And you can understand that because they were under persecution. They were under cultural persecution. They could have been under physical persecution. And we all know that if we were in that position where people were saying, hey, come on, walk away from that. Hey, come join us over here. Hey, we'd be faced with a lot of anxiety and worry. Am I doing the right thing? Right? Sleepless nights, anxiety, worry, stress. Am I doing the right thing here? Should I continue to walk with Jesus or should I turn back? Because my family says I should turn back. I should walk back with him again. I should go back to the law. And so that anxiety and that stress and that worry is going on. And he writes to these people and he wants to encourage them and strengthen them to continue to walk with the Lord. So look at Hebrews 6, verse 10. This is what he says to them. For God is not unjust to forget your work. Leading into this passage, he's saying that some are walking away, but he says to them that we have faith, we have hope in you, that you're going to stay the course as he's writing. Then he says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name. In other words, he's not going to forget about you. Continue to be faithful. Continue to walk this out. And that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Verse 11. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, until Christ's return, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through what? Faith and patience inherit the promises. In other words, he's saying to them, stay the course, stay the course. Use both faith, your relationship with him, and patience. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. But both be faithful to the Lord and be patient so that you might inherit his promises. Now, he does something really cool here. And I think it's encouraging for us. He says, okay, I'm going to bring up someone who they will know who was both faithful and patient. I'm going to write this in there. And because I'm writing to predominantly Jewish people, they're going to know this guy that I'm going to talk about here. And I'm going to give them an example of what it is like to be both faithful and patient. So he goes on in verse 13, and he says, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. In other words, God, there's no one higher than God. In a court of appeal, you might go and say, I swear by, and you'd swear by somebody who was higher than yourself to prove that you were telling the truth, right? And God is saying, well, there's no one higher than me, right? I swear by myself, right? By my own name, because there's no one higher than God. In verse 14, he says, saying, I will surely bless you, God saying to Abraham, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting what? Patiently. After waiting patiently, Abraham had to wait patiently. Abraham received what was promised him. Now, they would have known Abraham. Like, he's great, 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 great grandpa Abraham. And their parents would have told stories of Abraham. They would have been well informed on who Abraham was. And that's why, in fact, God has the author of Hebrews write this to them and say, mention Abraham, because that's my model of both faithfulness and patience. Now, maybe tonight, some of you don't know who Abraham is, but maybe some of you know who he is, but you don't know what he went through. And to know what he's gone through is an incredible test of both faithfulness and patience. And I would just say a couple things. One is God goes, and Abraham doesn't know who God is. Like, he doesn't know what Chick-fil-A is. Like, he would have no idea what Chick-fil-A is, right? And he has no idea who God is. So he has no idea who God is. And God comes to him, right? He's like early on in Genesis, right? And God comes to him and he says, I want you to leave this land. I want you to leave your father's land. And I will give you a land someplace else. And it's like, okay. Like, I don't know who this God is, but he is God, and I'm going to listen to him, and I'm going to be faithful and patient with him, and I will do what he says. I'll be obedient. And so he leaves his land. his father's land. He leaves the security of his father's land. I don't know how many of us would do that, because if we had a nice like setup, a nice pad, and we were well taken care of, I don't know why we would ever leave that. And yet Abraham does it. He's faithful to this God that calls him. Later on, God will say to him, I'm going to give you descendants. I'm going to bless your socks off when it comes to your family. You're going to have a rich, strong family. And Abraham hits the age 100, and his wife hits the age 90. And how many kids do they have?
Zero.
Now, that would be to me like, hey, God, did you drop the ball on this, right? I know I listened when I left, right? And you blessed me, and I have land now, and I have my own land, and that's great. And I was faithful, and I was patient. But now I'm hitting the 100 mark, the century mark, and I don't see any kids. And you told me I have kids, so am I supposed to just like redirect my path, or did I do something wrong, or what's going on here? And sure enough, a little while after that, God blesses them with a son, Isaac. And they have this kid, and it's a blessing, right? It's an amazing blessing. But he received that promise because he was both faithful and patient. He waited on the Lord, even to the point where I think many of us would have been like, this is a lost cause. But then what does God call him to do? Abraham, I want you to go sacrifice Isaac. Literally kill him. I want you to put him on the altar, and I want you to sacrifice him. Now, that doesn't make any sense at all, God, because you said that you're going to bless my family. We're going to have descendants, and it's going to be awesome, and that's what I want, and I have identity in that. And why would you ask me to do that then? It doesn't make any sense to me. So Isaac, what does he do? Or what does Abraham do? Faithfully takes Isaac to be sacrificed. And we all know that God stops him before he does it. And then he says this to him. Listen to what he says. Then the angel, and this is in Genesis 22:15. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, right? We heard that somewhere before. God can only swear by himself, the highest name. He says, I swear by myself. It's like, I really, 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 really mean this. I promise this. He says this. Declares the Lord that because you have done this, because you've been faithful and you waited and you trusted me and you had faith in me, because you have done this thing with your son Isaac and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand in the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities and their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me. Now, here's the thing. It wasn't easy for Abraham to do any of those things. It was not easy. And if we put ourselves in his circumstance to leave a well set out pad, right, taken care of in my father's land, why would I ever leave that? Then you ask me that. You say, I'm going to have a son. I'm going to have this awesome family. And I don't have any kids until I'm 100, right? Who would stay with that? And then you go into the fact that now you ask me to sacrifice my son and to just test me to see if I'm really there with you, Lord. Why would you ever ask me to do that? I don't understand. And then you come with this blessing that says, because you were faithful, because you obeyed me, because you were patient, I'm going to bless your socks off. It's going to be amazing. In fact, Abraham won't even be able to stay around long enough to see how far his blessing goes. The same thing I would ask for you tonight is this. Maybe you're in God's waiting room right now, and God's waiting room is a difficult place to be, but everyone has to go into it. I mentioned the doctor early on. The doctor's office is ridiculous because you sit there, right, and you're listening and you're waiting, and you think every step that comes through is like him coming to your room, and they just walk on by, and you begin to think, where is he? And typically, I don't know if your doctor is this way, they're never on time. It's usually 10 to 15 to 20 minutes late, and you think, are they even here? Like, did they show up this morning? Are they out playing golf? Is it a late meeting somewhere else? Or why wouldn't they have called me and told me that I didn't have to be there 20 minutes? Do you get that way, right? You get a little cranky because we don't like to wait, right? And it's like, where is this guy? Like, I'm waiting in this office, waiting to hear from him and hear from him at every step. And he's got important information for me, and I got to wait on that information. And sometimes maybe God's waiting room is like that for you, where it's like, God, are you gonna answer this? I'm kind of throwing it out there, and I keep hearing steps walking by, and I think you're going to, nope, not it. Oh, not it. Oh, not it. And you think, this is ridiculous. Like, I don't know how much longer I can take this being patient with you, Lord. And sometimes we get into God's waiting room and we're forced to sit and wait. Sometimes, like Abraham, I don't think anybody in here, 100 years, right? Nobody in here is 100 years old. But that's a long time to wait. But Abraham patiently and faithfully waited all those years. Now, it wasn't without God answering promises here and there along the way. It wasn't without God demonstrating his presence to him. And it wasn't like he just went cold for 100 years and all of a sudden God showed up, right? That God was there with him. But there were times where he must have questioned and said, God, maybe this plan, maybe I heard you wrong. Maybe I got this all wrong. And yet at the very end, we see that God was so faithful to Abraham's faithfulness and his patience. These are oftentimes, I'll just tell you, one of the times when people most often walk away from the Lord, right? He didn't answer in the time frame. He didn't answer the way I wanted him to answer or in the time frame that I gave him to answer. And so I don't know how long, much longer I can hold on to the Lord for this. There are other answers out there. I could find other answers, other solutions to this problem. And I think what the author of Hebrews is saying to those people who were struggling because they were being persecuted, their family is probably saying, come back to the old ways, come back to the law. What are you doing? And the culture all around them would have been living out this law-based religion. Why wouldn't we go back? It'd be so much easier just to go back into the culture again. And the author of Hebrews is saying, wait, be patient, be faithful to Jesus, be faithful to the Lord. Here's how we can be sure that God is going to be good to us and that God is going to fulfill his promise. Look at Hebrews chapter 16. I think it gives us two reasons here. Two reasons I think that God is faithful to us. We can bank on his promises. Hebrews 6:16, right? Did I say Hebrews 16? I heard the pages moving. I'm like, no, go back, go back. Hebrews 6, you were right in the right place, sorry. Hebrews 6:16. Here's how we can know that God is going to be faithful. Listen to what he says here in verse 16. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath confirmation is for them an end of all disputes. Thus, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability, or the, I'll create this word, unchangeability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Let me break that down. There's two things in there I think that we can take out of there and know that God is faithful to his promise. I think primarily when we talk about what is he faithful to, what was he faithful with Abraham? He was faithful with Abraham to give Abraham what he desired, his heart's desire, but more importantly, what he had promised Abraham. And more importantly, to bring on the lineage of what he had talked about, his descendants for Abraham. So sometimes one of the things that we can get kind of mixed up in is that I want a wife. I have a wife. But I, in the season when I was wanting a wife, right, and I wanted her quickly, I wanted it to come, wanted it to happen now, right? There's two elements to that. Number one, does God even want to give me a wife, right? So if I say he's faithful to his promise, but he never gave me a wife, well, did he ever promise me a wife? Number one. Second thing, in the time frame. So the time frame is a big issue. So if I would have got one when I wanted one, I would not have been married to my beautiful wife now, Bethany, who I love. She's awesome. She's amazing. She's incredible. I would not have had that blessing to be married to her. And so when we talk about God's promises, what is he exactly promising? What is the promise that he's talking about? Clearly, when he's talking to the Hebrews, he's talking about the promise of Christ. So you can bank on this promise that Jesus is better than the Old Testament, the law, and that I promise that you can be heirs to this amazing, incredible opportunity to walk with Christ and receive salvation. That's God's promise. But let me just tell you this. I think in our line of thinking, and I'm a little tangenting here, so if you're taking notes, I just want you to be clear. Because he is good and his faithful promise to bring us Christ, to offer salvation through Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, and the forgiveness of sins, and because he promised that you will become heirs to Abraham. He said, you will have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of descendants, millions upon millions upon millions of descendants. I will make that a promise through Christ, and we're going to see that here in a second. Because we can bank on his goodness and his faithfulness to offer one of the most incredible things, or the most incredible thing, which is eternity with him, salvation, that we can bank on the promises that he is faithful to us and that he is good. And that should he ever called me to live without a wife, then that would have been good for me. That promise or that faithfulness, that and I would have to have been patient and wait, and then receive whatever he had for me, that would have been good for me. Because he's offering me something way better in eternity and salvation. If I don't get the job that I thought I should have had, and I say, God, you weren't faithful to me in your promises, it could be that he didn't promise you that job. But I can bank on that he is good and that he is faithful because he's offering me something better than a job. Not that jobs aren't good and not that a wife isn't, you know what I'm saying? He's ultimately, I can bank on the fact that he is a good God because he's offered me something so immeasurably greater. And he is incredible in that. And so what he's saying here, listen, is that God is good on his word. He's good on his promises. Ultimately, what he's good at is giving us the salvation through his son, and he will carry that all the way through, and that he will include us. So we will faithfully and patiently wait for God because we believe he will honor his promise because of what it says here in this passage. He is unchanging. We have to believe that he's unchanging. In other words, the promise that he made to Abraham that he was going to just blow up his family, like bigger family than you could ever imagine. Abraham, look at the stars, look at the sun, look at the sand. I'm going to give you that many descendants, right? Well, how are you going to do that? So we're part of that. I'm going to show you that in a second. But we have to be under the understanding that God is unchanging. So it says he's immutable. He's unchanging. So we have to bank on that. That's part of the faith that we put in him, that he's not going to change. That promise that he made to Abraham many thousands of years ago is good today, that we can bank on that promise. The second thing is that it says right in here that he cannot lie. So what if he lied to Abraham? What if he kind of was like, I'll just tell Abraham what he wants to know so I can get what I want and then I'm out, right? If God was like that, then we would be in trouble, right? That somehow he lied. And so one of the things that we put our faith in and our hope in is that he can't lie. This is impossible for God to lie. So he's both unchanging when he makes this promise to Abraham that I'm going to bless your socks off, I'm going to bless your family, and many, 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 many thousands of years later, your family's still going to be growing through Christ. I'm going to bless those people. They're going to be heirs to this promise, that he cannot change that statement, and he can't lie. So that statement is true. So those two things, when we say, listen, God, you're good, what we're saying is we trust you. I'm going to continue to walk with you. And what he was saying to those people in Hebrews and what he was writing out, is that this is his God's word is good as gold. Because once he says something, he can't lie and it can't change. And so I know you guys all want to go back to your families, and I know you go back to the old, the comfortable ways of life. But let me just tell you, you can bank on God's promise that you have received something immeasurably greater than what you could ever go back to. Listen to what he says here. And that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, that we might have strong encouragement. In other words, he was writing this to those people, and I think writing to us to say, I know that you're waiting for the Lord for things. I don't know what they are, but in a room this size, I guarantee there's people who are like, God, when is this going to happen? God, I'm waiting on this. And I'm saying to you, listen, it may never happen. That thing that you're waiting for, the way that you've envisioned it, the way you've painted out the picture, the way you've wrote in your diaries, the way you wrote in your prayer journals, like that thing may not happen. And if it doesn't happen, will you be faithful to wait on the Lord and be patient in his waiting room? Because what you're waiting for and the promise that he's given you and me is something far greater in Christ Jesus, right? And it's not just to say, oh, I don't care about this life because heaven is coming, right? I have heaven. I don't care. Nothing affects me because I have heaven. And that would be great if we could just have that. But the reality is there are things that affect us in this life. And when those things affect us, we look to heaven and we say, God, I know that you are good. You are unchangeable and you do not lie. And I'm an heir to the kingdom. I'm an heir to Christ Jesus because of what you have done. So then that allows me to go through this and the list of things that I want to see you do, Lord. And I can just have confidence in knowing that if you did this, that I can just wait on you and be faithful and be patient in these things that I have in my list. So then he says, well, how do we get this? Like, who are these people that are heirs to this promise? Look at the very end of that. Who is he encouraging? He's encouraging those who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. So who's he talking to? Who are the people that have fled for the cities of refuge? In the Old Testament, there were people who did something accidentally, right? Pastor Bill, I think, talked about this a while back. Maybe you chopped off someone's arm during a work-related scenario. Like you're at work and all of a sudden you just macheted someone's arm off accidentally. I don't know. Something like that, though. And that family that you took their breadwinner away because you cut off their arm accidentally, right? They're angry and they're going to come after you, right? They're going to come after you because you took away their dad or their brother and the one who was making money, and now you're in trouble. So you would run, and there were set cities of refuge that you could run to and get safe harbor where someone couldn't get revenge on you. Until there was a trial of things that went through. And you could sit in that city and you could be safe and you could sleep at night because you knew that you were safe within one of those cities that God appointed of refuge. So when he says this, that I've wrote these things that we can have faith and encouragement in God for those who have fled for their refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Who is he talking to? Those who have run to Christ, Jesus, yeah. Those who have come to Jesus, those of you who I'm writing to, who they would have all known, yep, cities of refuge, we've run to that refuge, we've taken hold of that refuge in Jesus. This is a safe place. So when everybody else is warring around us, we take our harbor in the safety of Christ Jesus, in that city of refuge. I want you to look at Galatians 3:7. And I want you to see tonight that you are an heir to this promise. Galatians 3:7. You an heir to this promise that God made with Abraham, and he is unchangeable, and he does not lie. And you receive this promise tonight. Understand then, in verse 7, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Okay, let's read that again. It's pretty important. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Those who have run to the city of refuge, who is Christ Jesus, those people are children of Abraham. So you would say tonight, if I put my faith in Christ, if I trust in him, if I trust him to cover over my sins, if I'm covered by his death. And when I get to heaven one day and I stand before the Lord and I say, there's nothing good in me. It is only in Christ. If that's you tonight, then you can say, I'm a child of Abraham. Verse 8, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by what? Faith. And announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. He says this, and we just read it tonight early on in our passage. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and this is huge, heirs according to the what? What does it say in there? The what? The promise. Whose promise? God's promise, in which he cannot change, in which he cannot lie. God made a promise to Abraham many, many thousand years ago and said, listen, I'm going to bless you. And I will have your descendants grow and grow and grow throughout the time of history. And I'm going to do that primarily through this one man, Jesus Christ. And I will bless them. They're heirs to this promise that they will receive. Now, I love this, and this is where we're going to close. I love how he closes this off. Look at verse 19. I can just imagine the author of Hebrews sitting there, and he's like, oh, I just need a good word picture. Like, give me a good word picture. What does it look like? What's something that will stick in their minds? So he says this. This hope, what's the hope? That God is faithful, he does not lie, that he fulfills his promises. This hope, right, that God is good. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And he goes on, and which enters the presence behind the veil. We only know one person who can do that. Actually, the high priest, right? And then ultimately, here we go, verse 20, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. In other words, this hope that we have, it's on one person, on one man, and a faithful God who sends his son to die on the cross and acts as a forerunner that we might enter into God's presence, because that was behind the veil, right? That was behind the veil. God's presence was, and one time every year, one man, the high priest, could enter behind that veil into God's presence. And now what he's saying here is that you and I, if we put our faith and trust in him, we can be heirs to that promise, which enters us into God's presence through the forerunner, who is Jesus Christ. It's an amazing promise that you and I can enter into God's presence, both now and for eternity, through Jesus Christ. This, he says, this is an anchor to our souls. I think if there was ever, I'm never going to get a tattoo, just not my personality, right? Not that I think there's anything wrong with it. But if I was ever going to get one, man, a big anchor right there. I'm like, on my forearm, maybe on my back. I'll just hide it back there, right? But that is such a cool thought that when life gets crazy, when people start to pull me in other directions, when I start to doubt God's faithfulness, when I start to doubt his promises, when I start to doubt whether or not he's going to answer this, or maybe I just doubt because I'm surrounded by a culture that doubts him and questions his word on a continual basis. And maybe that's caused me to sway in my faith with him. Maybe I don't go to church as often as I should, or I don't read his word as much as I should. Because quite frankly, I've grown up, right? That's my parents' faith, or that's when I was a kid and I went to high school group or whatever. And in this moment, I've been swayed back and forth. And I just feel like, man, I just wanted to stop. I just wish I knew the truth. And the author of Hebrews is saying, listen, use this as the anchor to your soul, that God is good, that he is faithful, that he doesn't lie, and he doesn't change. And he's made a promise that says that if you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, you are heir to the most incredible gift that you could ever receive, which is eternity with him in his presence. And along the way, like Abraham, he's going to be there with you. He's going to interact with you. He's going to talk to you. He's going to bless you. There's things that are going to come up and you're going to need his presence and you're going to sense it. And it's going to be like, thank you, Lord. But in those times when all that's in question and life is tossing us about, may his promise, the hope of his promise, be the anchor to our souls. Amen. Let's pray. God, tonight, I thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I know that we are in turbulent times. And I don't think that we ever are going to leave turbulent times. I look at the author, or I look at Hebrews, the letter written to the Hebrews, and I think that was turbulent times. And here we are, 2,000 plus years later, and we're in turbulent times. And there are people who outright question you and people who come against you. And I would just say the same promise for them is the same promise for us. Which is that you're good and that you don't change. And your promise that you made to Abraham is the same promise you make to us. And you are faithful and you are good and you're there for us. And when we start to question, may we hold tightly on to that promise of eternity with you. The relationship that we can have with Jesus Christ. May that never change in us. May that be an anchor to our souls. Amen. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free,
my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds.